Well, this morning, our text is from Hebrews chapter 10. And as you've probably seen on a few of the shirts around here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. But I'd like to give us a little bit of a context. And so we're going to back up a little bit and read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 23. Let's take a look at that. And it should be up on our wall as well. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Well, you know, when I read that passage, the first thought that came to my mind is, what an amazing God. What an amazing God we serve. Think of it this way. Have you ever been afraid to approach someone? I remember the day that I was going to approach a young woman who would one day become my wife, and I was nervous. The truth is, I was terrified. What would she think? What would she say? How would I be received? Am I good enough? It can be terrifying. Or maybe for you it was a job interview and you were afraid of who you're going to go and meet before and what they were going to ask and would you be welcomed. And you go in with fear. You go in with fear and trembling. And for generations, that's kind of the mindset that the Hebrew people had towards God. They were afraid of God. And, you know, I mean, you can't blame them. They heard stories about what happened on Mount Sinai. You know, you didn't just go waltzing up there. It was holy ground. You didn't just go and grab onto the Ark of the Covenant like it's just, you know, whatever else. There was a tent of the meeting, the tabernacle. You didn't just barge in there. And of course, later on, when there was the temple, there was the most holy place, and it was highly restricted. And the people's entire concept of God was that God was someone to be feared and kept at a distance, which is actually rather sad when you consider what God actually intended for us. In the beginning of time, God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the garden, and the first two human beings enjoyed sweet fellowship with God. They had nothing to hide. It was only after their sin, it was only after they turned against God that they tried to hide from God. They were no longer comfortable around him. And that's really the experience of so many people today. It's our sin that separates us from God. It's our sin that makes us uncomfortable around God. It's our sin that creates a barrier, so to speak. We know we're unworthy. How would we be received? We know it wouldn't turn out well. And so when we come to Hebrews chapter 10, and we read this passage, we find that God has done an incredible thing. In a sense, you could think of it this way. You can think of it as God is throwing open the door and hanging out a big welcome sign for all, an open invitation for anyone who can to come. And this was a highly unusual concept for the Hebrew people. You remember the story of Queen Esther? She was terrified to approach the king, and the king was her husband. Even she didn't have the right to just barge in on the king uninvited. If she did, it would mean almost certain execution. And if you take that kind of understanding of what it means to approach the king and multiply it maybe 100 times or more, you might see how utterly foreign it was for the people to think that they could just come and approach God and to come into his presence. And yet we have the report there in verse 19. We have confidence to enter the most holy place. Not just to enter, but to enter with confidence. And what is this confidence based on? Especially in the light that our sin separates us from God. How can God allow that? The answer is that it is possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Or as verse 19 continues to put it, by the blood of Jesus, who opened for us a new and living way into the presence of God. My friends, there is at least 3 or 4 sermons just in that thought alone to unpack sometime. But in essence, because of Jesus' sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself, we are invited in verse 22, as it says, to draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. What an amazing God! God hasn't changed. And yet the fact is that sin still separates us from God. What has changed is the reality that in Christ we can be cleansed of our sin and cleansed of our guilt and free from our shame. And it is on that basis that we have confidence to come into the very presence of God. And not only find a God who will put up with us, but a God with outstretched arms, eager to embrace us. Friends, this was radical. This would have been scandalous to the people who didn't understand who Jesus was. Ephesians chapter 2. Reminds us, but because of his great love for us. Oh, just dwell on that for a moment. Because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy. I think of that as eager to give mercy, eager to hold out mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. God has brought us to life. You know, in our home, we have virtually very, 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 very limited television, but we do have internet, so we turn on YouTube once in a while. And there's this program that we've discovered. It's called I Shouldn't Be Alive. Some of you watch it with us. It's about these different people who've been through some harrowing experiences where they should have died. They should be dead. But they weren't. Somehow, by a miracle, they were saved. And I thought to myself, that's us. That's all of us. We shouldn't be alive. We were, Ephesians says, we were as good as dead, but now we are alive. That is the hope we profess. That is the understanding we have. And so verse 23 encourages us. let us hold unswervingly to this hope. This is something that we hold on to without doubt, without fear, without hesitation, without any question. And then it says why God would do that, why God would give us that hope. The answer is there in verse 23, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to his word. We've heard that in testimony here today. We've heard it other times as well. I am reminded of the teaching in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, there's that great love again, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And there it is, in big, bold words in my mind, great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Steadfastness. It's the opposite of being ever-changing or wishy-washy, where you don't know what you're going to get. And what Lamentations is saying is, with God, you know what you're going to get. Psalm 119, verse 89 and 90. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. And I love how the word of the Lord and the Lord's faithfulness are connected together in that one verse. What God said will withstand the test of time, even through generations. And that takes us back to Hebrews 10:23. That is why let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for God is faithful. He who promised is faithfulness. Because of the faithfulness of God, we have a hope that we can hold on to always. Because of Jesus, we have a way to come remarkably into the presence of God. And that is something for everyone. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter how badly you've messed up. If we turn from our sin, if we repent, if we call upon God, we are welcomed. That's the amazing thing. What God did, he did for everyone. You know, in the Old Testament days, you could only get so close to God, depending on who you were. If you were not a full-blooded Hebrew, you had to keep your distance from the temple. You can go, but only to the court of the Gentiles. If you were a full-blooded Hebrew, but a woman, well, you did a little bit better, but not a whole lot. You still had to stop at the court of women. Now, if you were a Hebrew male, well, then you can go further yet. But even then, you can only go so far unless you are ceremonially clean. If you are ceremonially clean, you had more access. And if you were ceremonially clean and a Hebrew male and you're a descendant of Levi, well, you can go further into the temple. And if you're a Hebrew male, ceremonially clean, a descendant of Levi, and part of the right family, well, you can go to the furthest part of the temple, but you still had to stop at the curtain. Behind the curtain was known as the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place that represented the presence of God. And finally, if you were a Hebrew male, you were ceremonially clean, you were a descendant of Levi, belonging to the right family, and you were the high priest, and it was the special once-a-year Day of Atonement, and if you had the right sacrifices and done all the other preparations that you would have needed to do, then and only then, you can go into the most holy place, but even then, you would go with great fear and trembling. And what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 is saying is that Jesus came and he tore apart all those barriers. He tore apart all those walls. And you can see why the religious establishment of that day didn't appreciate Jesus very much. I mean, he was a troublemaker as far as they were concerned. But it was God's plan. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son. This is important. We often stop at verse 16. But look at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Friends, that is what the Lord wants to do for you, for each one of us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How is it that we can go into the very presence of God? How is it that we can call upon God? It isn't because of our righteousness. It isn't because we've kept our nose clean. It isn't because I've gone to church since I was 6 days old. It isn't because I've participated in the rituals. It isn't because I've got the right doctrine. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ who died for my sins, for your sins. And when we have this hope, this assurance, that we have come to God in confession of our sins and turn from it, receive Christ, we have full assurance of God's faithfulness to forgive us, to restore us, to make us clean again, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. This is why so many times we sing songs that talk about the blood of Jesus. When we, as God's people, are redeemed, brought into the very presence of God because of his faithfulness and his work within us, well, we've been given the responsibility to be faithful ourselves. God's faithfulness calls for our own faithfulness. And the truth of the matter, friends, is it is hard at times. This crazy world we live in, you know, it has all kinds of distractions. It has all kinds of things that would try to draw us away from God. It has all kinds of things that it would try to say, this is what will satisfy. This is what you need. Give this a try. Do this. Go there. You need more money. You need more relationship. You need more physical intimacy. You need more status. You need more whatever else. It is only Jesus who can satisfy. Verse 24 and 25, back in Hebrews chapter 10 again, it talks about our response. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up a meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, that's what we've been called to come together, to be the church. You know it, the church isn't this building, the church is God's people, coming together, worshiping him, encouraging one another, spurring one another on. And that's what I want to encourage you today with today, that God is faithful. And friends, I just need to add, if you have not, for whatever reason, experienced God's life-giving, sin-forgiving grace, if sin is a weight on your heart and life, and you need to let that go, you need to be set free from that, I want to encourage you that it is only in Christ that we will find that freedom. And it is there for you if you turn to him if you give your life to Him. The only question that remains is, will we remain faithful to Him? God is faithful. Will we be faithful? Will we continue to be faithful to Him? That's one of the reasons why God has brought us together as the church, to encourage one another, to stand together, to pray together, to worship God together, and to give all glory to God. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before You. And Lord, I am reminded just how much I need You. Father God, I pray for forgiveness for our pride, for my pride. I pray, Father, for forgiveness for us if at any time we have counted on perhaps our rituals, our habits, our sound doctrine, or anything else other than the blood of Christ for our salvation. Father God, You are faithful. Your grace is sufficient for us. And I pray, Father God, that as a people that we would come before You, and even now perhaps, even now at this time of celebrating a special day here, Lord, that perhaps it would be somebody's special day, as in the quietness of this moment, they just call out to You. And in their heart they say, Lord Jesus, I need You. I recognize, Father God, how I have sinned and how I don't deserve anything good from You. I'm as good as dead. Would You bring me back to life? Would You forgive me my sins? Would You make me a new creation? And I pray, Father God, if there is one or more who are at that place today, that, well, Father God, that You would just do that work within them as they turn to You and receive them and embrace them and assure them, Lord, that they are a child of the King, that they can come to You anytime, any place, and that there is a big welcome sign hanging out for them. And Father God, as Your people, bought by the blood of Christ, I pray, Father God, that we would be faithful to You as You have been faithful to us. Let us spur one another on, I pray, to love, to good deeds, to service to You, and in submission to You. And we give You all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.